guys, relationships and for people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Okay, we're on.
We are live.
So, good evening.
We are live.
Fully well. Fully well from the Every Woman Talk Show. Tuesday night again. Sorry, we've missed you for the past couple of weeks, but we're back and we're live. I do want to say that before we dive into our topic tonight, I do want to put a condolence out to the Houston family. Bobby Christina finally letting go and moving on. It's a horrible, horrible, tragic thing, you know, for her mom and her. It's just very unfortunate, and it's a hard thing. It's very sad. So we do, from the Every Woman Talk Show, from Shadow World Radio, we definitely want to put our condolences out to the Houston family.
Amen.
So we were talking a couple of weeks ago, and I wish we had came in right when it happened, but we still have some things going on, changing some formats going on with the Every Woman Talk Show, so... We were talking a couple of weeks ago about the young man who lost his scholarship and lost, you know, damn near everything with him because he had a domestic fight in a bar with a young lady. And so the conversation tonight is about, we're going to go full round about domestic violence, but right now I just want to talk about the whole idea of how men are portrayed when it comes to domestic violence versus how women are portrayed when it comes to domestic violence. And how we think about whether or not, because he's a man, should he have not hit her back? You know, should she have not hit him first? I mean, you know, just the whole setting in, just the whole idea of right and wrong and, you know, domestic violence in general. So here's my theory. One, of course you should have never hit him first because if you don't want to get hit, you don't hit. So for that, I think she was wrong for instigating the whole incident. But I think his reaction was a reaction from an action. And unfortunately, sometimes we react before we think. And we do that so often. You know, we react by words, we react by actions because of what someone else has said or done to us. So being such a young man, I don't think he thought it through when he smacked her up, thought about it at all, or what impact it would be on his life for doing it until after it was already done and you can't take it back. So the unfortunate thing is it was something very minor that became something very tragic. And now this young man has lost his scholarship and now he's, you know, he's in the world now lost because of one little incident. And I'm calling it little because no one was physically really hurt. Not saying that I condone either or her smacking him or him smacking her, but the whole idea that it was something very simple that became something very big. So we know with domestic violence, we hear a lot of women who talk about being beat by their husbands and their boyfriends and their fathers of their children. Did we ever hear the man part of being beat by my wife, my baby's mother, or my girlfriend? We don't hear it as often as we do with the women, but it happens. And it happens just as often as it happens with women being beat by their significant other. Very often. We just don't talk about it. Now, I wanted to dive into it because I wanted to see how people felt about that. Is it something to talk about when a woman smacks a man or when a woman throws something at her man or hits a man with a broom or whatever she's doing? Is it okay because she's a woman, because she can't really physically hurt this man? But then we have some women who have become so violent and so volatile in their relationships where it becomes more than just a smack or a hit with a broom or I throw a shoe at you. Now we're talking about stabbing and we're talking about shooting and we're talking about hitting in the head and, you know, all kind of crazy things. So I wanted to start off by talking about the man's perspective in domestic violence. So I'm hoping we get some calls in tonight that for some, you know, with some men that would give us an idea of what they think or how they feel about it versus some of the women, you know, also too. And if we have any survivors of domestic violence, the people who have been in very volatile relationships, love to hear from them. I remember a quote my brother said to me, and I'll never forget this. I might have been like 17 or 18. And he said to me, you know, I come from a really large family. Most people know that. 10 brothers, 3 sisters. And he said to me, you know, if your man hits you, he beats you, beat him, I'll do whatever you want me to do to him or whatever it's called for. But if you go back to this man, then I'm going to beat you. So that has always stuck in my head when I've ever been in relationships where I thought it may be going a little to the left. You're a little bit too volatile, you're a little too boisterous, a little bit too loud, a little bit too, okay, let's rethink this. So if you put your hands on me, there's going to be a problem. So I've always thought about that when my brother said that to me. You know, and do you, what do you do when the first time happens? Do you let it go? Do you say one time is more than enough time? You know, and most people say if they've done it once, they'll do it again. Is that true in every case as well? Now, are you there? What are you thinking about the topic tonight?
Well, I mean, I think it's a very good topic. I think there is something that's said for maturity. I think that we're a little bit more volatile, and I'm just speaking for myself, a little bit more volatile when you're younger than when you're older.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's this little bit of wisdom and a little bit more maturity. You have other ways of dealing with your frustration, your anger, except for a physical release.
Some men are naturally just volatile, though. Some men are just naturally volatile men, and it really, you know, I can't even put age with it. Some of them, if they don't get their way or you're not doing what they are telling you to do, that's their answer. And some of them don't know any other way to handle themselves.
Right,
and
right.
It's an unfortunate thing, but it's true.
Some mm-hmm. don't, but some figure it out. Okay. I think it's different. It varies from person to person. Mm-hmm. I've never been one to condone violence toward women because I was brought up in a household where my grandfather was very old-fashioned and very abusive towards women.
Mm-hmm.
And the effect that that had on my household
right.
was something that never left me.
Mm-hmm.
So as I became into maturity, you're either going to do one out of two things. You're either going to emulate it or you're going to totally go in the opposite direction.
Drop the way, right.
I'm not going to say I've never hit a woman before because that would be an entire lie.
Right.
Because I have.
But
all in the anger.
Did she hit you first, or was it just
yeah,
you were angry at what was being said?
Yeah, she hit me first. She hauled off, and we were cursing at each other back and forth,
right.
and we were going
right.
at it, and I was walking away. Like, I was
mm-hmm.
totally, you know, blindsided because I was walking away.
Mm-hmm.
Then she, like, spun me around. Now, I was waiting for her to say something. Nope,
mm-hmm.
she went upside my head.
Mm-hmm.
And before I could rationally think,
what
about what
think.
To say and what
mm-hmm.
to do, it was that quick. I mean, literally,
right.
I spun her like a top. And
right.
I was, like, really
yes.
horrified that, I hit you that quickly. It was an instant
right.
reflex, instinct at reaction. You hit me, I hit you
right.
back.
For every action, like, there's a reaction. Right.
Right. So I'm trying, you know, to pick her up off the ground. She goes, you hit me. And I said, I know. And I feel really, really sorry about that. I apologize to you because you didn't deserve for me to hit you. I'm going
but
through a lot right now.
But you didn't deserve to be hit either, though. See,
no,
this is my point I'm making.
Absolutely.
Nor did you.
Absolutely.
But did she apologize to you?
No. But, I mean, the thing was to me was, okay, the hit didn't hurt me at all. It happened, but there was no physical pain. It didn't slow me down. If we were in
mm-hmm.
a fight, my God, I probably would have laughed at her. You know, so
but,
it wasn't.
But that's besides the point, though. That's besides
right.
the point because that smack didn't hurt you. But if she became so volatile where she hit you with something that could have harmed you, See, this is what we're talking about. We as women think it's okay because we can't hurt him. We're women. That punch or that hit is not going to hurt. That's not always true, and it doesn't give you a pass for doing it.
Right.
Because it's not going to harm him or it didn't hurt him or he's going to hit you harder because he's a man. That doesn't give you a pass for doing it.
No, you're absolutely
and
right.
And that's what the topic is about tonight. You don't get a pass. You don't get a pass because you're a woman. As a matter of fact, your silly ass should have never done it to begin with because you know if he hits you back, it's going to hurt 15 times more than what you did to him.
Right.
So why put yourself in that position to be harmed? You know, and then she's probably not thinking when she did it either. Out of anger, she just, you know, you said something she didn't like, and you know what? I'm going to smack the shit out of you then.
Right.
Not really thinking, damn, he might smack me back.
You know, I mean, like I said, you know, my ex-wife could call in 646-478-4507. That would be great. Or anybody else who wants to talk about this subject, 646-478-4507. Oh, I don't mind. I mean, it is what it is. I've got nothing to hide. My grandmother just died. We were in a heated conversation about her mother. And I was not feeling anything at the time. I was devastated over my grandmother's passing because my grandmother was like my mother. She raised me. I'm livid. So when we're exchanging these words, and I mean, I'm passing venom just like she is. And my wife is becoming very emotional. I'm not emotional at all. I'm just saying cruel shit. You know, that's what I'm doing. And then, like I said, you know, I said, look, before this goes any further, because I could see where it was going.
Right.
Let me get out of here. I'm going.
Uh-huh.
You take care. Uh-huh. I'll see you later. Now, her said, you know, who am I to walk away from you?
Uh-huh.
So she wanted to, you know, make sure that she got off her last statement with authority, which was that slap.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know what made her desire to want to do such, but that's what she did. And like I said, before I could even mentally grasp what just happened, I already retaliated. And it's like, you know, oh my God. You know, I'm like, you know, I really didn't mean to do that. And I do apologize. You know, I'm apologizing like almost instantly. And I'm like, you know.
Did it happen after that? Has it ever happened after that?
No, you thought about it and you made sure you thought twice
about the next time you got into an argument because you never wanted that to happen again. But then the unfortunate thing is sometimes you don't think this.
But I will also say this. She never slapped me again either.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Because she didn't want that feeling again.
Like I said, you know, because, I mean, what triggered it was I got hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit back.
Mm-hmm.
I never got hit again. I don't
know. So she thought about it too. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, I would say that, you know, there was a lesson learned by everybody.
Right.
And we took our lesson seriously. And we moved forward from there. Now, let me say, it didn't save the marriage, of course. But
we learned that lesson didn't destroy the marriage either. Whatever destroyed the marriage wasn't that
money.
No,
I didn't. Right. But, I mean, like I said, it taught a lesson about negative interaction and how to best try to communicate with one another. And I guess that was the most important thing.
We have a caller?
We do have a couple of callers online. That's why I want to go ahead and get this commercial break in here real fast. Get this song in here real quick.
No problem.
Get these callers lined up.
Holding on, and we'll get ready back to you guys.
So just hold on tight now.
I was sick of phone anything. Listen in. Are we back? Time to come back live. All right. Okay. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We have been online talking about domestic violence, and I have our prior guest, the guest that just came back on with us tonight, Daniel Woodard, here with me talking about domestic violence. And I was really trying to, I guess, break it down because I was so upset about what happened to the young man who lost a scholarship for school because he had the incident with the young lady in the bar, and how important it is to really realize what our actions do to us and how it harms us. And I really don't think that young man was thinking when he reacted to what the young lady was doing. And I don't think she thought it would be that serious either. But this is what happens when we don't think before we make moves. We just make moves without thinking. Jamie was talking before we were trying to get some other callers in, so I guess we'll go back to Jamie and finish hearing what he has to say about this domestic violence situation. Jamie, are you still there?
I am here. How you doing?
Good.
First and foremost, I want to say that, you know, I definitely don't condone those actions at all. And as I was saying before, we just got to understand that men in general should not be putting their hands on women and vice versa. It's something that people should understand that it is very detrimental to, you know, your future and especially what you want to do. And like you said, with the young man, I guess he didn't know the extent to which things, you know, would occur. But
he really
needed, I'm pretty sure that he had somebody that he probably talked to in the past that should have, you know, let him know that, you know, the repercussions of what could happen.
But the issue with that is he probably knew, but when it happens at that moment, times when domestic violence has the first time domestic violence shows its face in relationships or in incidents like that, it's from a reaction.
Yes.
It's from a reaction. So I don't think he had time. He didn't take the time to stop and think and say, damn, if I smack this girl back, I'm going to lose everything. She instigated, she hit him first, and then he just reacted to her action. Not making it okay. It's not okay. But had she had not put him in that position, guess what? None of this, we wouldn't be talking about him at this present time. So my whole thing with women, and because I'm a woman, I can say this, is don't put your hands on nobody if you don't want to put the hands back on you.
Exactly.
What gives you the right to be aggressive and abusive if you don't want that done to you? And that goes for verbal, that goes for physical, that goes for emotional, for the whole nine yards. What gives you the right to do these things that you hold so dear to yourself that you wouldn't want done to you? You know, and like I said, I don't know if it's the first time it would happen. Will it be a second time? Will it be a third time? This goes on both women and men. We don't talk about the men being beat by their girlfriends. There's so many men who live in homes and their wives and their girlfriends are very physically abusive, and all they seem to do is, you know, push off, push the hand down, push them away, and just, you know, and deal with. And they don't talk about it because nobody cares. Nobody cares until he reacts. And then they'll never believe that this woman has been beating on him because he's a man.
Exactly.
He's a man. So, oh, please, she ain't doing that. She's not hurting you. It's not even whether or not the hit hurts, whether or not the shoe that hit you hurts you. That's not even the point. The point is you have no right to do these things. You have no right to be abusive in a relationship either way. But if you don't want something done to you, don't do it to other people. And it's just, for me, it's just sad because we don't look at things as a two-sided thing. Everything is, I don't know, we don't look at it as a one-sided. Everything is two-sided. Everything is men can do this and women can do this. Men can't do that, but women can do that. And it's not fair. It's unfair. It's just all around the board. And what do we teach our children? What do we teach our daughters and what do we teach our sons? And they think it's okay.
Men have to understand and realize, like you said, they wouldn't want anybody putting their hands on their daughters. you know.
Right.
So why would you do it?
Or their mothers, right.
Or their mothers, but why would you do it to anybody else's daughter, sister, or mother? When I actually worked for two separate social work organizations, when we used to be in groups and you would hear the stories that go on, because we worked in conjunction with a couple of domestic violence safe houses. You would be surprised at the stories and how long it would be going on and how
Absolutely.
It started and how it started initially.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it started from the most minute disagreement
mm-hmm.
or argument, and then it
mm-hmm.
just spawned years and years and years and years of
right.
Domestic abuse. And finally, the young ladies sought help. And then you also had young ladies that were in there that admitted they hit first and then they hit off.
Uh-huh.
So it actually goes both ways, and neither way
uh-huh.
has made it right. I think that young man should have learned his lesson, but to have everything taken from him in that manner, I think
very
it was
drastic.
Very
drastic.
Drastic and
that
very
was a
unfair.
Drastic move. Yeah, that was a drastic move. Now, the football player who hit his wife in the elevator, very similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
He caught on camera, but they have been going through physical things for forever. And
yeah.
she never reported it because it was something that they just did. You know, right? It was just something they did. And at this point, she had to make a big issue of it because it was caught on camera. Because had
exactly.
it not been caught on camera, the asses would have went home with a black eye and covered up with makeup and let it continue to go on, which is that is the unfair part, that he thinks it's okay to continuously abuse his wife or his, you know, I guess
mm-hmm.
they weren't married at the time, his girlfriend or whatever, his daughter, son, mother, whatever. To think it's okay to continue to do this. I worked for a domestic violence shelter for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, the stuff I used to hear and the way they would come in, they would come in sometimes with no shoes on their feet, no clothes on their back. You know, the kids are just hungry, just, you know, a bad situation. But they waited so long for it to get so bad where they were afraid to come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really think there are not men out here that would think, like, you know, she might kill me if I try to leave her? You don't think that goes both ways sometimes?
Exactly. And it was definitely situations where the young lady went back, you know, two or three times before she realized that, you know, it wasn't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that we didn't do is we didn't, we always kept it an open door policy. And
mm-hmm.
we never, I guess, got on them for going back. We always welcomed them when they came back, you know.
Right, because you can't do that, because that's what, and then they have no safe haven to go through.
Exactly.
If you do, right, if you make them feel like they were stupid, don't come back, you're an idiot, going back, then there's
exactly.
more safe haven for them, you know. So they
exactly.
have to have some place to come back to. You're right about that. You're right about
exactly.
that.
And a couple of women that we knew were, wanted help, but possibly knew that they were going to go back, when we took them to the safe haven, We didn't let them know where the safe haven was, and en route we kind of like we had this vehicle that they couldn't really tell where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that we had a similar thing like that. And it was crazy because we couldn't even all family members know where we where the safe place was, because you know you
mm-hmm.
might go find and know somebody who knows somebody who knows.
Exactly.
You know? So it was, you know, and it was scary because even working in that environment was scary for the counselors as well, because what if one of them is so in love, she said to him, well, I'm here.
Exactly.
I'm here. Because once they're in there, they know where they're at. So they're allowed to go out. They're allowed to
exactly.
you know,
yes.
take some place. So now they know where they're at. So
yes.
we you know, you had a peephole. We had a camera system. We would see everybody at the door or whatever. But what if one day we were coming into work at 12 o'clock shift, and one of your crazy men was trying to get in? It was just a sad situation because it happened. It happens.
Exactly.
You know, and I just think more counseling should be available for, and I'm talking about free counseling because everybody can't afford to pay a counselor for help.
Exactly.
So there should be more places where you have free counseling to help. And like Daryl said, sometimes it comes with maturity. Sometimes you start it at a very young age and you've never gotten any help for it. So now you become an older brother doing it. Because there's no help between the time you started as a young man to
mm-hmm.
now an older man.
Exactly.
Because you had no help. You don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore. You think it's okay.
Mm-hmm. But there are many places in New Jersey, many more places in New York, but there are many more places in New Jersey where you can get free counseling. You know,
okay.
the help is there.
Right.
Yeah, the help is definitely there. And they do provide the free counseling. But, you know, it's like anything. Are you willing to work the steps?
Are you willing to do it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And a lot of women are definitely willing to do it. But, you know, love is definitely a strong emotion. And what it does is it blinds people, men and women, you know.
Uh-huh.
It blinds uh-huh. them. And it's just funny how on the opposite side of that, when you think of men in domestic violence, it's almost laughed at, like you're not a real man. You're not a
right.
real man if you report. And we
right.
had a couple of guys that were in the group, but the group was so small, I think the guys were more embarrassed, and the guys really stopped
right.
coming because
right.
they just figured, like, you know what, I'm not going
to
even.
This is
a waste of time. Yeah,
right.
this is a waste
right.
of time. Nobody's going to listen to me. So
let me just throw the number back out there right now in case anybody. I know we have some calls listening in, and some people are trying to.
Okay.
Trying to reach out, 646-478-4507, the Every Woman Talk Show. I don't know what happened to our first call and our third call, but if you guys want to call back in and give us
mm-hmm.
your opinion on what you think, please give us a call back. But Jamie and I are going to continue. Daryl, we want to jump in. Daryl, jump in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say? But I think it's now that you're saying that there is help out there, I'm actually going to go online over the weekend
mm-hmm.
and get some numbers for some people.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to post those on the Every Woman Talk Show. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you find yourself in a situation, whether you be the woman or the man, being the abuser or being abused, I'm going to make sure you guys get some numbers to get some help. And, you know, that's what we're here for. You know, you try to get all the information we can out there to our public and see if we can help, you know, straighten some problems out. It's such a touchy situation. Because, like I said, most men don't think their voice is going to be heard because you're
exactly.
a man. Half of a woman beat you up. She can. She can.
Yeah.
She can. Now, will she really hurt you in the beginning? Probably not. Probably
mm-hmm.
a little punch and a little smack probably don't hurt in the beginning. But what it is doing is creating a lot of anger inside of him.
Yes.
So at some point when he explodes, guess what happens? He's going to get in trouble for exploding after all the stuff that he took from her. And it's not what we want to happen. We don't want an action from a reaction. We don't want a reaction from an action. We want to prevent that. We want to make sure that those things don't happen. We want to make sure that things don't happen. And it's very hard to do that unless you are willing to get that help, too. If you
mm-hmm.
know you're in a situation and you're not willing to go for counseling, you're not willing to listen to anybody, then there's no help for you. You're going to be a statistic.
But you know what? I've heard so many times from the young ladies in the group that they wanted to be loved. You know, they want to
uh-huh.
be in love, and that man was probably
and
one of the first of many, yeah, to tell them that
uh-huh.
they're in love.
Uh-huh.
And the thing with the men, most of the things that the men said were, I was raised not to hit a woman,
uh-huh.
and the person that I dealt with know that was the case. So why would they in return? You know, put their hands on me when
mm-hmm.
they know how damn well I wasn't going to put my hands on them.
Right.
So, and it was just
yeah.
there's so many instances. I mean, I've
yeah.
testified in court. I've been to the hospital,
yeah.
and I've
yeah.
seen so many
yeah.
things. And it's just ridiculous. And the only thing you can't judge. You can just
no,
keep
you
providing
can.
The help.
You
yeah,
can.
You keep providing the help.
You can't. You know, because it's funny how people judge because it's never happened to you. But who's to say it will never happen to you? You don't know that. You really don't
yeah.
know that. So I really don't like to be this. I'm not proud of this, but I am a volatile kind of angry kind of person. So I really
okay.
have to think. I know I am. So I really
okay.
have to. I think before I do anything most
okay.
of the time because I know I can go from 0 to 100 in a matter of seconds. Matter of seconds. It's who I am. It's just my personality. So I think a lot. I might say some things without thinking, but before I make moves, I thought it out. 90% of the time. I can't say I do it all the time because I'm not perfect. So 90% of the time, I try to think it out before I make any move. But it's difficult when you know that you have a violent side in you. And like I
yeah.
said to Daryl. It does, you could be a young man to be violent, but you could still grow up to be that same violent person because sometimes it's just who you are. And for me, it comes out of my mouth most of the time, and my mouth most of the time shows you what I'm really, really thinking and really, really saying. And it's so funny because my stupid new phone that I have won't allow me to text curse words. It won't,
mm-hmm.
it just, it just erases them. It blanks them off. So I'm really mad because
wow.
there was a comment, and I'm like, God knew that I needed to start somewhere, and that's where he started me. And I'm like, touching on my phone. So there was a comment on Facebook today with Sarah Palin talking about she wants to bring back slavery and by choice. I'm like, well, who the hell would want to be a slave? And but what I wanted to check had so many multiple curse words it wouldn't allow me to do it. So I'm like, okay, for all of you who know me and know what I'm really saying, these little smart, intelligent words is not really what I'm trying to say here. So I know me, and so I know I need to rethink things before or think things through before I react.
Definitely do.
And my feelings get hurt very easily. Yeah, my feelings get hurt real easy, and then once my feelings are hurt, we got problems. So I've never hit a man because, like I said, my brother always said to me, don't do something you don't want done to you. I've never hit a man because my whole fear was, if this person hits me back and it hurts, I am going to jail. So let's not even go there with that one. Let's not start the smacking and the hitting, and let's not even do that. It's time for you to leave, or it's time for me to leave, or both of us to go take a walk or something so that we don't get to that point where either of us will become volatile.
No,
that's true. It won't be a pretty sight.
What I don't believe is once a battle, always a battle, because we've had some successful cases where men have stopped doing it. But when we have spoke to people that spoke to the young men or men that have, you know, put their hands on women, their thing was, it was something that they emulated. It was something that they saw. It kind of like made them feel like this is how they get their respect. And they, you know what? They actually, most of them, this is the psychology major in me talking, most of them never saw their mom, their sister, or their daughters in that place. They only saw the woman that they were hitting in that place. They never saw anybody in that family. So it was totally different in mind, you and I know you call it, your listeners are listening. I'm not making any excuses for any of them. I'm just saying the groups that some of the groups that we conducted, and the reasons why these things you know, at times occur. So
can you give me 1 second, Dale?
Sure.
I have a caller who just inboxed me on Facebook who's trying to actually get in. I told her to just press 1. I don't know if she was able to get through or not, and so I'm just trying to see whether or not you know whether or not they're on. Waiting to come in or not.
Here we go. Ready?
Okay.
Caller, you're on there.
Hi,
Uli. Hi. How's everyone?
Hi. Everybody.
Hello, how
good?
You doing?
This is Nedra.
Oh, okay, Nedra, that is my partner. So I'm glad you got a chance to call in tonight.
Yes, I know you've been listening in.
I know you've been listening in. What do you think about the topic?
One, I just wanted to support. And two, I have a very big difference in opinion about a lot that's been said. One,
okay.
I'm not really all that familiar with what happened with the guy that had the fight with the girl in the bar and so on and so forth. But I do know this, that it stems from something a lot deeper than just a hit. It's a level of disrespect. There's a level of not having the same type of mannerisms that we may have had, you can say years ago, but it's not always years ago. It's a lot of times is how you were rooted, how you were raised. Before you get to the point of hitting, there's actually there's a lot of verbal confrontation that can take place before that.
Yeah, right up to it.
If you don't have a level of respect for the next human being the same way you would desire a person to have respect for you, then you're not going to understand when a person lashes out. You're going to think, okay. Well, I have a few examples. I did a lot of volunteer work with different agencies may have had that did have. We did work with domestic violence, and it wasn't just in adults. It was in. I I can remember a case when a child was underneath the boardwalk with her baby at 15 years old living there because she refused to go back to such a verbally abusive environment from home. This was her mother that was abusing her in such a detestable manner that she didn't even prefer to live underneath a boardwalk in Atlantic City with her newborn baby than to go back to an environment like that. Let's switch to another side. I can remember having a situation where there was a guy in the home, a young guy in the home, who was receiving a lot of abuse from his older sister. Because the older sister saw that happening somewhere in the family, so she felt it was okay for her to disrespect and speak to her brother in such, you know, in such a bad way. Uh-huh. So she became very verbally abusive and then eventually physically abusive.
Physically.
The same way with the child that was underneath the boardwalk, it went from a verbal abuse until it got into a physical abuse. A lot of times we don't have a lot of respect for one another. That level of respect for human beings is not the way that it was or it should be or it could be. And if we begin to hold ourselves accountable for that side of our character, our personality, our everyday being as a person, we'll begin to control possibly control that volatile part of ourselves.
Okay,
so
let me pose this question to you.
From 0 to 1 to 0 to 2, 0 to 1,002.
That's because we family. Let me pose this question.
Shut up.
let me ask you this, though. So in your theory, and what you think and what you feel is, because we don't respect the other party, is sometimes why we become violent. So you don't believe that sometimes an action takes on a reaction.
Oh, I totally believe an action takes on a reaction because I'm completely aware that we are living in a very, very hostile environment right now. Our lifestyles, our daily lifestyles, going to the you can go to the bank and a financial institution to take your money out of the bank and walk up to the teller and if she maybe had a bad day, a bad night, a bad weekend before you, and before you know it, it'll wring this person's neck. So I understand that sometimes an action can cause a reaction, and you can a man should never ever put their hands on the other person unless they expect to have that same thing done to them.
Right.
So with that in mind, my opinion of it is if there's a certain level of discipline that comes before you act or you react. I know that there's been a lot of times in my life, and I don't need to say that I'm a tad bit older than you, but just it don't even matter. The point of it
you
has been
times
have said something or done some things to me that I didn't go out. I didn't turn the other cheek. I didn't want to write, you know, roses and hearts and blow them. I didn't want to do those.
Right.
I reacted. And
right.
I reacted in a very strong way because
as we got older, we learned, and that's what I said earlier today, I already know I have a volatile side of me, so I know I have to rethink, I have to
absolutely
think things through before I make moves. So it took time for me to grow up. And even now, people are like, you are so violent. I'm like, no, if you leave me alone, we're good. But if you follow me to the point where I don't know what to tell you. So there are times when I know I have to, like, you're 50, you're still fighting. Yeah, that might not be a smart thing to do, but unfortunately sometimes I react when I should be thinking, I react. So like I said, 90% of the time I can keep it under control, but I'm human. So sometimes it gets to the point where thinking is not an option for me. What did you do? What did you say? That's not even an option for me to even try to think that through. So the unfortunate thing is it's not just me that feels like that. There are so many other people in this world that caught up in that violent history that don't think it through and they react on it.
Absolutely.
You know? And
I agree with
you. The bigger thing for me tonight was I wanted to bring attention to, and yes, we need to have a whole show about violence with siblings and mothers and fathers. But the biggest thing for me tonight was I wanted to bring attention, because we don't do this, attention to the brothers who are being abused and people just push under the rug like it's no big deal. But when he reacts back to what that person did to him, then he's the monster. He's the monster. Because he couldn't take it. Not giving him a pass for doing it. Let's be real with you. I'm being honest. I'm not giving him a pass for doing it. But sometimes in our inside, we can only take more. We explode and it becomes very ugly. So
I know of a lot of different situations where even as the male was being abused. Okay, say for instance, here's one where, again, he was the only boy in the family, and all his other sisters, they found ways to be verbally and physically abusive to him. And as the youngest of all of them, he took all of that. And as when he grew older, he took he took a lot of abuse from his wife, until one day he couldn't take any more. And when he lashed out in a way where it was a fatality for her. So guess what? Now that you had years of incarceration, you somebody might say, well, he had a lot of time to sit there and think about that, but that's bullshit crap. Excuse me.
Right.
Because we're talking about a man that that received a lot of verbal and physical abuse all his life, and no one shot him any bail. No one ever.
Here's the problem. What Jamie said was, there are places they can talk, but they don't think people take them serious. They won't do it.
Yes.
So when he was getting abused by the sisters, he should have been getting help then. But what he did was he found another woman in his life that did what he knew best.
What? And what type of woman is that? Anyway, you look at a man and you look at him, we may say, oh, he's such an abusive man. He's so this, he's so that.
Right.
The woman is just as much of an abuser
that does
that as well. So, you know, it goes both ways.
It doesn't get on the right. It doesn't give her the right to be, and we said this before, physically, emotionally, verbally, financially. It doesn't give you the right to do anything that you don't want done to you. If you don't want it done to you, don't do it to other people. Now, this young girl who got this boy, who smacked him first, hit him first, threw a drink on him the whole nine, when he turned around and smacked her back, now this girl going about her life. This boy has nothing now. He's lost everything. He's lost everything because he didn't think. He didn't think, like, let me get away from this girl.
I don't think that.
Let me get away from her.
That's it's just my opinion, but I just don't think it's fair. I think that if there was some type of punishment that should have been inflicted on him for doing what he did, I just don't think
his
scholarship.
Why didn't she get something? Why didn't she get charged with something? Why didn't she?
Absolutely.
Why didn't she get charged with physical or domestic violence or endangering? Why didn't she get charged with something?
Okay. I get so upset that I take my saliva from my mouth and I spit it on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that that's a charge?
Mm-hmm.
That is a charge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a criminal charge now. So.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't it be that drink that she poured on him, he may have felt like some type of way that I had to defend myself against that. You never know, but again, in my opinion, I just don't think that he should have had his scholarship taken from him, because now
absolutely
what do he
not
do for the rest of his life?
Right, absolutely. Darryl, how much more time do we have? It gets so good sometimes, I swear. And it just goes so fast.
Always, right?
Darryl? Okay, he doesn't want to talk to me right now. So I remember one time, and you know, I always put my business out there because I don't even care what anybody thinks or says about me. It really makes no difference to me one way or another. I remember working for a company, and I was the only female manager, and all the other seven managers were all men, the only female. And so, of course, they didn't like it. They would pick on me and do things. Everything they did had to be handed to me for my department. They sent it out. They would hand me my reports late, or then it would make it seem like I was late doing my reports. You know, stupid little things like that. But one guy in particular came over to my cubicle, you know, the little L cubicle, and said, you know, talking trash or whatever. And I'm like, you know, get out of my face. Just get away from my booth. Just, you know, do what you need to do. Get away from my – give me the report so I can finish doing what I'm doing. Just get away from me. So what he did was he walked away from the front of the cubicle where he could reach me into the L shape where he was directly now in my – right next to my face. Well, everybody knows me knows that's not a good thing to do. So I took my computer monitor and I hit him with it.
Okay.
So now I didn't think about it. I might have been 23 years old, maybe. I didn't think about it when I did it. It mattered to me. This man is in my space. You're in my space. So I hit him with the computer monitor. So they took us in the office, and you know, they didn't really hear both our stories yet. They were like, oh, but you hit him with the computer monitor. I said, he was also in my face. He's a man. I'm a woman. Of course, I felt threatened a little bit because he's a little skinny, little bony thing, too. So I think he felt threatened a little bit. I had to say that I felt threatened because I was, you know, didn't want to get in trouble. When they took it to the upper management, when I went into the, I went to the police station that day when I left, when they told us to go home, I went to the police station, I pressed charges. When I got to work the next day, they put us in the office, and they had a pink slip on the desk for me, but no pink slip for him. So I said, I want you to hand me that pink slip so I can own this whole building. I want you to hand me that pink slip in my hand right now. But one, you allowed this man to come into my personal space, and no one helped me. No one came to my defense. I feel security, not the other management, no one. So had I not hit this man with it, who knows what he'd done? Who knows what he'd done? Now, when I think about it now, as an adult, as an older woman, I probably would have been different. But the fact that he was in my space, which should have said enough for me to say, you know what, somebody needs to help me because this man is in my space. I didn't do that. I didn't ask for help. I just handled it myself. But now I know better now. Before, I didn't lose my job. They didn't fire me because they realized that he did. After they looked at the tapes on the monitor, they saw what he did. They saw how everything transpired, and they saw when I did it. They realized that he really was in my personal space, and he was really violating my personal space. So and verbally being very abusive, calling me names, his person, and all that good stuff like that. I decided, you know, certain instances, just, you know, fall back and think about the things you do before you do things because I had two kids at the time. Matter of fact, I was 26. I had two kids at the time, so what was I going to do with my kids if I went to jail for something stupid like that? Well, what was going to happen? Over to some man who will be jacked to me, we'll never see him again in life after I left the job. You know, what would I have gotten out of that? So when I think now, that's what I think about. What if I do this, what am I going to get out of it? What am I going to get at? You know,
absolutely
I'm
nothing.
I'm not going to get nothing but jail time. Nothing but
jail time. Might lose your kids. So
yeah, lose my kids. You know, lose my kids, and I'm too pretty to be somebody's VIPTH in prison, so I can't do that. And I really don't want anybody raising my kids. So you know, I rethink. I do. I do think things through now. But an action creates a reaction.
Yes.
You know, I just hope that we, with this show, there's a little bit of time that we've spoken. I just hope that, you know, some of our brothers and sisters get some help, you know, some therapy, you know. I need some therapy, too. Some therapy, so I'm going to give me some free therapy. Maybe it's a 90% or come up to 100%. Therapy to make things a little bit easier in our lives because that young brother now has lost his life over something so trivial. And like I said, I'm saying trivial, like I said earlier in the show, because nobody got physically really hurt. It was a smack, you know, and pretty much that was pretty much it. He didn't get hurt, neither did he, you know. But now look at their lives now. And I'm not even going to put the race card out there because that's what it was really about. She was white, he was black. So I'm not even going to throw the race card out there. That would be a whole other story, a whole other time. So we got a lot of interference tonight, too. I'm sure. Darryl, where are you at?
I'm right here, darling.
How much more time do we have there? Yeah.
Oh, darling, we have about a half hour.
Oh, what? Okay. Well, we can keep it talking. You know my mouth won't shut up. Jamie, do you have
girl,
to leave or can you stay with him?
No, I was actually, yeah, but I was listening to you guys. Go. I'm sorry, Dal, you were saying something?
Oh, no, I was just saying that we have one caller online. Then it's Jamie, it's me, it's you, and you got about 30 minutes.
All righty. Nadia, did she leave?
Yes, she has left us, and yeah. She,
okay.
she must have had somewhere to go, or she got disconnected.
All right. She,
but, yeah.
she said her piece, and that was it.
Yeah, but we thank you for a piece, you know.
Jamie, do you have to go, or are you okay with time?
I'm great with time. I'm great with time.
Okay, great. I called Jamie at the last minute, and I know, you know, Jamie is always somebody who knows so much, and I love when he comes on to the show. He gives us information that I don't even take the time to find out, because sometimes I don't know. So, and I'm not, you know, I'm not afraid to say I don't know. Hey, there's some things I'm ignorant to, and once you learn it, guess what? I'm no longer ignorant to. So that's
it. I'm a jack of trades, a master of none. I've worked in social services. I've done shipping and receiving. I've done payroll. Oh, my God. I've done a little bit of everything.
Right.
But social services and psychology is my passion. I've even went to counseling because I had some stuff I had to work through, and it helps, you know.
Right,
It definitely helps. Now, as far as these women or men who need to seek help, I mean, Google is your best tool. You can type in the free counseling services, you know. Some counselors.
Do you think as black people in general have a problem with seeking help, going to counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists? Do you think we as black people have a problem with that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I
think we do have a problem with it. I think it we feel as though that we're being too open with our lives and too direct to an absolute complete stranger. But at one point, all of the friends that you have known were strangers, and then it took a time that you spoke with them and you talked to them. I think personally, from going to seeking therapy, that you know, telling somebody who actually wasn't in your life, you know, every day kind of helped me more, because then I didn't have to see this person and think that this person, what is this person thinking? What are they saying? This, that, and the third. So it kind of helped me, and I always tell people, listen, I tell couples to go to counseling way before you even think about getting married, way before you even think about certain things. And you can do partnership counseling as well as individual counseling. It just makes sense. You know, to me it just clearly makes sense.
Well, you know, I just think it stems back from when we were young, our parents didn't think that we should go for seek help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our parents thought it was okay. Like, when we say that, you know, we think that something is wrong, or our brother says, we think he's crazy. Well, no, we don't think he's crazy. He was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But we never took the time to get help for him so that he could be a functioning crazy person in the world, you know. We just didn't do things like that, you know. And it's so crazy that now that more people are seeking help, they have diagnosed so many people with bipolar or schizophrenic or all these other things that we never knew what they were because we didn't go seek help for it.
Listen,
you know, we didn't go seek help for it. Go ahead, Jay.
I personally think, like I said, as the psychology major is speaking again, I personally think that we all show a little bit of symptoms.
I think so, too.
Of everything, especially being bipolar, because it depends on, like, what you're going through, what's happening, your area, social economic status, maybe relationships you've been through, the way you was raised. So, I mean, the thing about being bipolar is, okay, for 3 days, Monday through Wednesday, you're happy. Thursday and Friday, you come and you're sad.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, wow, what's going on?
That's a matter of being bipolar.
That's a matter of being bipolar, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
my
thing is people just want to label people and just,
and that's,
you know,
what I'm saying. They are labeling these young kids today, too, with all kinds of stuff. That,
exactly.
For instance, attention deficit. Every kid in the world got attention deficit.
No kids
pay attention when they're little.
Yeah.
So all kids have it. Every single kid in the world must have it, because at a certain age, you do not have an attention span. Your attention span is not there. So
exactly.
You're going to label every kid with that? You know, and it's just, it's unfortunate, but that's why we don't go to psychologists and psychiatrists and doctors, because we don't want to be labeled.
No, you're right about that.
We don't want to be labeled.
But you can actually go to seek help, and they can label you, right? Then you can go look up what they're talking about, you know, and then you can figure out almost how to function. Now, if it's actually bad and, you know, you have a psychotic break, that's something totally different, you know. Then medication should be involved if that's the case. But I'm just talking about simply if you really just need someone to talk to to people, how people fear it so much. I think men fear it in general more than black people, because men actually just don't want to go, because you're supposed to be a man, you know,
right.
And you're being less of a man when you go seek help. I've talked to female psychologists. I've talked to male psychologists.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what we think, though. That's exactly what I remember going to my doctor, my regular MD, and saying to him, I'm so depressed. I was in a real, bad rut, just depressed every day. Wasn't happy. Every day I was just unhappy. And I couldn't even really pinpoint what was making me unhappy. I just knew I wasn't happy. So I said, mm-hmm. I need something. He was like, you don't need anything. You need to talk. You need to talk it out. You need to vent, you need to talk. And I'm like, no, I need something, you need to give me something. And he said, listen, I'm going to write this prescription for you, and I'm begging you not to take this medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm begging you not to take this medicine. I'm asking you to go seek help. Just vent. Somewhere down the line, once you start talking, you're going to figure out what you're upset about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to figure out what to do to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went home that night, I got the prescription filled and everything. I paid $125 for the prescription.
Mm.
I went home and I said, should I take this medicine? Or should I do what he asked me to do and just really stop thinking and venting and talking? So I didn't take the medicine. I wound up not taking the medicine, spent my money for nothing. But he was right. The medicine wasn't going to help me get to the root of the problem.
No.
It was just going to make me more sober, more laid back. It wasn't going to find out why I was upset, what was making me depressed. It's not a miracle drug that said, take this and you're going to write out everything that's wrong with you. That's not what the drugs do to you.
No.
But he was right when he said, and unless I see something in you where I think you are going through a little breakdown or whatever, then I don't think it's necessary. And I wasn't going through a breakdown. I was just, it was a lot of things. I was living in a place I didn't want to live anymore. I changed jobs, wasn't making money, I wasn't making anymore. And I would say those are the things that are bothering me, because I'm dealing with those. But it really was those things that were bothering me. Even though I was dealing with them on a regular daily basis, those were the root of what was making me upset and what was hurting me and what was making me sad and what was making me, you know, unhappy, and I didn't want to go anywhere, I didn't want to do anything, I didn't want to see anybody, you know. And as I thought about it and started really thinking about it, that was part of it. So, you know, seeking help is a major thing for us. And we don't believe that. We don't believe
and,
that at
and
all.
To and piggyback on what you said with the medication, a lot of times the medication can make you, like you said, disconnect or remove from the actual issue. So now you're farther away from it, and it's like, okay, well, I need this medication so I could stay away from it. But in the end, if you get hooked on the medication or you finally get off of the medication, you know, like we said, the issue is still going to be there.
Yeah.
It's not going to go anywhere, and you realize it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the same thing with people who drink. I say to them, you're drinking because you're about to drink your problem away. But when you finish and you throw up, guess what? A problem right there staring you in the face. Right there staring you in the face. And I think that's why some of our brothers who are very volatile and know they're volatile don't go seek help. But they don't want, first of all, they don't want anybody to know they're doing it. They don't want anybody to be labeled. You don't want to be labeled as a beater. Even though you are a beater, you don't want to be labeled as a beater. But why not? You're doing it. And that's exactly what you are. Whether it's her or him, I don't care. For me, it's both ways, man and woman. If you are the abuser, same thing. You are the abuser. So you can't shun away from being the abuser if you are an abuser. And you can't be upset when somebody calls you what you are.
Exactly.
Now, if you seek some help and you're trying to get out of that character of who you are, then, no, maybe they shouldn't call you that anymore because it's somebody who you were, who you no longer want to be. But if you're okay being that person and you go from one relationship to another relationship being an abuser, then that's just who you are. And sometimes no counseling in the world is going to change that for people because they think it's okay.
No,
like
you're right.
People say you won't change unless you want to change, or you can't. A person can't change you unless you see the fault in yourself. You have to see that wrong within you before you can let someone else help change who you are. So it's, you know, I just really hope our brothers and sisters get some help with this, and
I hate to see it on the news. I hate to see it on Facebook. I hate to hear it, you know, people I know. I just hate to hear it all together. You know, it's just a sad situation. And like you know, the sister said, sometimes it ends in fatality. And who wants to hear that? Who wants to know that?
Nobody.
But jealousy is a mother, too. Jealousy will take it to their limit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jealousy will make you go way overboard. You know,
yes, it will.
I remember, and you know, like I said, I was doing business down the street. I was dating my husband before we got married, and he was going away for 3 weeks. And his brother came to pick him up, take him to the airport, and I wasn't feeling well that day. And I was like, I'm going to ride, I don't feel good, whatever. And when he was there, I had a pair of jeans on, and my jeans were ripped up. Back in the day, used to wear ripped up jeans or whatever.
Yeah.
They used to wear them now, but not, I mean, back in the day, were really ripped up jeans. And he was like, all right, I'll call you when I get one going, no problem, whatever. So he left. So I got, my mother lived four buildings away from where he and I lived, four buildings away. And I got up, let me go see my mother's cook. I'm going to go over and get something to eat. So I got up, walked down the street to my mother's house. When I got back, he was in the house, he missed the plane. So he saw me coming in the house with the ripped up jeans. Well, I had to be everything under the sun. Walking out of the street, those ripped up jeans, the guys looking at your butt, and I'm like, I'm walking all over the town. Like, really? But in his mind, his jealousy mind, in his mind, I was out there doing something. Four buildings away from me, at my mother's house, came in with a plate of food, but in his jealousy, in his mind, it was crazy. Now, had he had been a very, very crazy, volatile man, who knows where that would have left me at.
Exactly.
You know, so sometimes, you know, and had I known that he was so crazy about the daggone rip of jeans, he could have just took them and threw them in the garbage. I wouldn't have even worn the jeans again. If you were that upset about the jeans and how they looked on me, not a big deal. I won't wear them. Not a big deal. But we never got that conversation. That conversation never, because jeans had never been a topic of conversation until you were not in the, as you thought, I thought you were in the States. You thought I thought you were in the States. Then it became a topic of conversation.
Then
sometimes, you know,
go ahead.
Went crazy. Sometimes communication, a lack of communication, lack of, is also a problem with violence in relationships.
Yes, it is.
You know,
and that,
don't talk to me. Go ahead,
no, I was going to say, what you just touched on was a form, definitely a form of control, especially with the genes. It's funny how these guys, you know, people seek people out because of, you know, I guess how
they
beautiful
like.
They are and what they look like. And then you want to change them. And then you complain about what attracted you to that person. And this is a form of control, again, which can lead to, in some situations, domestic violence, especially when, I would say when a man feels like he's almost less of a man in a sense, you know. But you knew the situation going in. You knew you dated a beautiful woman. You knew you dated a woman that made more money than you. So why is it an issue at this point? Because that person inside themselves cannot handle, you know, I guess their shortcomings. But you got to understand this too. Their shortcomings are not going to be forever, and you got to learn how to get over that and do something about it. But beating up on your partner is not the way. Not the way at all. You know, and they have to move forward. And again, counseling, talking, and just really understanding where the essence of it has actually come from. You know, I always try to promote it with our people, our people, like you say, about going to seeking help, because it just makes sense.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, we have reached some people, we've reached a couple of people, and you know, you can't help everybody, but you know, hopefully with the show that we do, we enlighten some people on some information that will help them get through. Your show, Jamie, last time was an amazing show. I mean, absolutely amazing show, and I hope we help some people with that show. And that's what I'm really, you know, my goal now is, you know, when we first start doing the Everyone's Talk Show, it was really like, you know, a relationship thing, you know, and we talked about, not that we're not going to talk about relationships, but my main focus now is to find some information out to our people, the word out to them, so that we can better ourselves, so we can better our children and our children's children. So sometimes they don't have to go through some of the things that we went through.
know, I think that topic we're going to talk about is what's going on with the cops, like with all this violence with the cops. Like, I don't understand. We are really going backwards. Like, we are truly, honestly going backwards. And I have nephews who are in law enforcement. I have siblings who are in law. I have so many family members who are in law enforcement. And I know I would love for them to come on to the show. I know it's going to be a great debate because most people in law enforcement sit together and they have that brotherly bond. They have that understanding of one another or whatever. And I'm like, who's that? If you're wrong, you're wrong. So we're definitely going to touch on that probably. I'm not sure if it's going to be next Tuesday, but somewhere in the future we're definitely going to talk, you know, touch on that. I ask my audience all the time to inbox me, whether it be on my Facebook page, whether it's on my phone, if you have my personal number, or whether or not it's through the Every Woman Talk Show, and tell me what you want to hear about, what you want us to get some information out to you guys, because it's so important to us to know what you guys are thinking and what you guys are looking for, you know. These topics that come up, just come up from out of my mind, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody wants to hear that. It may be something that, you know, is a little serious to somebody, and they need to, and they don't want to, they don't know how to address it, so go through us, and, you know, we'll do it that way. Pretty happy with that. I'm okay with that. So please do that. You know, I know we have a lot of listening people listening in. We have people from Atlanta. We have people from Texas. We got people from Florida, from ATL. We got them all over. So I got my brother in Italy and his wife and her family that listens to us every 2 days in Italy. And I have my other brother in France. So, I mean, we really are all over the place. So, you know, different things going on all over the world. So we really want to take it out and make sure everybody is listening in and getting some well-educated information. Dale, how we doing?
Dale left. Where is he?
He just let me run my mouth. He don't even just be like, ooh, you only got 5 more minutes. Dale,
oh, that's so funny. Listen,
you know,
I also want to say
ahead.
Real quick to the people that's listening, just the ladies and the men, but the ladies, just don't be scared to get help.
Right.
There's always a better path in the end, and, you know, there's someone out there who will just love you better without the physical pain, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's what they really need to understand.
And let's remember, not just physical game, but the verbal abuse sometimes is mentally straining on you where you will never be a complete person again for the next man because he has done so much damage, or she has done so much damage to you. So, you know, you don't deserve to be called names. You don't deserve to be, you know, just look at your situation. If it's not a good situation, you can love him and you can love her, but guess what? Love him from afar.
Yep.
Love him from afar because you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, and we don't want that. Darryl, how much time do we have?
About 15 minutes, about 14 minutes, give or take.
All right. I'm going to put this out there, and Jamie doesn't know I'm going to say this. Neither does Daryl, neither does Nancy. Daryl is our other producer. Nancy's our other producer, and, you know, they switch back and forth with me from time to time. I think one gets tired of hearing my voice, so the other one will come on. However, I don't want Jamie to destroy me, like, every Tuesday when he's free, because Jamie is, like he said, a jack of all trades. He gives me so much information.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean,
I don't have to do the delay work to get it. So we're gonna talk this week about Jamie being a regular. I'm gonna talk to Jamie, I'm gonna call to Dell, and I'm gonna call to Nancy and see if we can do a little partnership with this because, like I said, you know, I don't have to do delay work. Jamie's gonna do it. If Jamie has it all, I don't need to do it.
I have no problem with that.
Well,
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
We could definitely talk about that, but also, as anybody has heard, on Friday night, I hate to jump the gun, we had on this past Saturday, which we all got a chance to spend some time together over at Lincoln Park, the 10th annual music festival.
House
oh my
festival.
God! Yes, house music festival. Well, house music is Saturday. They had R&B and jazz and gospel on Friday night. They had hip-hop on Sunday. But they had house music all day Saturday.
You know, that's my thing.
It's the house music capital of the world is New Jersey, y'all. You know, you better ask somebody. anyway,
ask somebody.
So, you know, we were all, let's see, we were all together. The Shadow World's family, I mean, in full effect. Big shout out to all the brothers, to Black, to Ed the Damager, to Alex, to Naeem Johnson, to everybody. I mean, DJ Crazy K, everybody. Their mama was out here, the Nas, everybody was out there.
We were
falling out the
tree. And let's shout out to Lucky. That's, Lucky did a thing Saturday, too. Let's shout out to Lucky.
Absolutely. Look, everybody and their mama, they all, Lorenzo, everybody showed up, showed out, threw it down, represented. You know, everybody's all in, you know, like I said, Shadow World's radio. Yeah, Shadow World Entertainment, just as strong as ever. So, a big shout out to all the boys. Now, but in the midst of all that, we did an interview, which, a vignette which is going to go on because Friday night, the Man Up show will be on the air. So there's sort of a clip highlight special of some of the interviews that we did on Saturday. In one of them,
Wonderful. We
introduced our latest member of the Man Up crew. Jamie, you want to shoot that out there yourself or?
I'll be happy to shoot out there myself. I was happy enough to accept the offer to be one of the newest members of the Man Up show. I mean, taken by surprise. I was taken by surprise, and I was like, "Whoa, okay." And I accepted it, and I look forward to talking about, you know, everything that goes on in the world, issues, my life, you know, people life that I know, and just helping people. That's my main thing. Like, I love social services. Love psychology, you know, just helping people and talking about issues that concern men, that a lot of issues that men don't want to talk about because we think we're too manly to talk about, when in fact men need to talk just as well.
Right.
You know?
Actually more because we don't like to talk. So actually
exactly.
More. So,
well,
exactly.
Let me just put this out there. I'm upset because, first of all, I want Jamie to date. Were you just going to take Jamie from me?
Okay, it's okay.
I'll share. It's a family thing. I'll share. You can have Jamie. I'll find me another female Jamie.
Sharing is caring. Ooh.
Sharing is caring.
Well, you better share and care on my daggone birthday. How about that?
Well, look. We about to blow that puppy up. I was going to get to that too, Uli.
We're
going to
turn up.
Let's just do the regular news first, and then I want to concentrate and focus on your birthday. Hold up. So we're going to blow up the 5-0 in a minute.
What's that about anybody yet? Well, Jamie, I'm happy you are a part
Thank
of
you.
The family now.
Thank
I'm
you. Thank
very
you so
happy.
Much.
I'm gonna let my 0 to 100 just lie down right now because I am happy that you are a part of the family. Now I have to find a female version of you.
You have to find a female version of me.
So,
I'm happy. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, but what I'm saying, we're going on, and also we like to know, like I said, right now on the boards. Matter of fact, he can hear us. He can speak right now. The new producer of the Man Up Talk Show is Mr. Shamar Austin. Shamar,
nice.
I want to say something real quick.
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
Hey,
what's up, man? How you doing?
So we have a new addition to the family. Two new additions to the family.
Yeah,
because so like from now on, you know, now as far as Everybody else still got to deal with me and Nash. But as far as the Man Up show was, it was kind of unfair that, you know, not only were we the talent, but, you know, we were dropping
the
show. So, you know, there's a feeling that, you know, okay, you know, we're here, but they're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, they're on. I mean, we still in charge. You know, we're talented just like you are. You know, like I said, we're hearing it just like you are. we're giving it just like you are. Certain nights, like I said, for the most part, Wayne will be the moderator. It'll be Ed Fairley, me, Tom, and Jamie going at it, you know, for 2 hours, along with special guests who come along to light up on certain issues. So that'll be like after, like say this, the Friday night after Labor Day, it is on and cracking. The crew
on and cracking.
Will be back. You know, like I said, it's going to seem like the crew is all on Friday night because with all the tapes and everything added in, everybody's voice will be on the show.
So
it'll seem like it is a better
show. Did you let our listeners know we also have T-shirts for sale? We are selling our Nana T-shirts, our Shadow World T-shirts, Everyone's T-shirts, our Relationship Show T-shirts.
Yep. So, look, now let's go to the merchandising, shall we? Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you were just waiting for, you know, where is that Every Woman T-shirt? I have been waiting now for 2 years for this T-shirt. Where the hell is the T-shirt? Well, congratulations, ladies. It's here. Come get your tank tops. Come get your T-shirts. Guess what? In the fall, we're doing hoodies. So, look, let's get it on. Let's get it crack-a-lagging. You can find it on our website, www.shadowworld.com. Go to our merchandise. Go ahead. Pick it up with the PayPal. And we're going to make it work. So, you know, come get as much merch as you can. There'll be places where we are.
I'm here.
There'll be places where we are where you can come see us, hear from us. And we're doing live events. Trust me, we got shirts. So, you know.
Well, we might even do something live from the party.
Let me get on to that. But let's do this right now. Uli, please, can you please tell the good people when, where, what time it is going down?
Well, we are having our birthday party for our family members August 15th. I will be 50 years old. He likes to say I have a century. I say it'll be 20. I just say how old. The gal likes to put it out there. 50 years old, yes. And I am so excited. I mean, extremely excited about this turn of 50. Next year, we won't talk about birthdays after this year. No more after this year. But I'm excited about turning 50. I hope my Shadow World family is going to be in the house with me that day, celebrating with me. We'll definitely post pictures. We'll definitely post plenty of pictures. And my sister and I are actually doing all the decorating for the party, and I'm excited about that, too. You know, I do that as a side. I do my little party plan and event planning thing. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited.
Look, this party's about to go down. It's going to be epic. The Shadow World family. Not just one or two. The entire brood. You might miss one or two who don't live on, you know, who don't live in the New Jersey metropolitan city area.
Right.
But for all
right.
of us that live in the area, all of us that live in the area, we will all be there. You looking for me, I'm going to be there. You looking for Nas, he's going to be there. You know, you looking for a Black, he's going to be there. You looking for a Tom, he's going to be there. You looking
and
for Jamie,
like,
guess what? He's going to be there too. So,
Jamie said he'll know.
Yeah. Now, we might not all be there the entire time, mind you. Hold on. I'm not saying we're going to be there.
That's right.
On the boat.
As long as I see a face here and there, I'm good with that. As long as at some point
look,
we get a picture in and I know you've been there, we're good.
There's going to be pictures, there's going to be two steps. It's going to be two zips and two steps. So, you know, understand. You know,
I want to learn how to step.
Well, we definitely got to have a step.
I want to learn how to step. I really want to do this. I want to learn how to Chicago step. That's what I want to do.
Look here. We got to get it in. This time.
We got the YouTube that and have the Saddle World family doing the Chicago step.
That's what's going on. You know, look, like I said, we are all going in. this is about to go down. 50 years. Look, see, like, for me, look, I'm knocking on the door myself. Understand, the next big bash after Uli will be mine. And I guarantee you, I'm looking to blow the roof off this place. So, understand, they ain't, you know, like I said, there ain't going to be no bigger event between then and now. So,
I know that's right. I know that's right.
You're going to have to take home the whole year and a half. Get another one just then. And it's going to take that long just to be able to clean up,
just
then recover, and then come back.
We're going to need just that just to recover for miles.
That's it. You're going to have to recover, clean up, and then we need to come back and go get it some more. So,
that's
like,
right.
Literally,
that's right.
This is about to go down. We're about to do this. Okay, you know, like 50 is the new 30. Ain't no big deal. Age ain't nothing but a number. Yeah, a little bit slower. Not as fast as we used to, but oh my God, so much more.
Who you talking about? Who you talking about? You ain't talking about me.
You know,
go to the gym every morning. Just walk to the gym every morning. You ain't talking about me. I am the new 30.
I know that's right. That's what I just said. This is the new 30. That's what I just said.
I ain't slower. I'm better.
Well, I'm not, look at
what they say. Why I get better with time? So does black women.
You know, hey, wow. You know, if we were about to go off, I would say something about that right there. But
we're going to close out. We're going to close out tonight. Everyone that talks show every Tuesday night with your host, Uli Wells. We are definitely going to be having some hosts come on with me because Jamie has just threw me to the curb. But every
night
at 7 o'clock. Look, I love you guys. Thanks for listening in, calling in, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Well, you'll hear me next Tuesday. Peace out.
Next Tuesday. Good night, everybody. Love y'all.
Good night, people. Good night.
Relationships are people that are just waiting for something better to come.
Ah,
spoken like a
cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
on the air Friday night. Gentlemen, ladies, it's good to be with you. It's Big D Diary here just to kick it with you just for a little bit. Only like 2 minutes of thunder. Tomorrow, it is about to go